Bonnie Gunner, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, along with my co-host, Joe, historian Hembrick. We welcome you to the Conscious Corner, where we're going to have a discussion on critical issues that are facing the African-American community and demonstrate a victorious attitude toward our struggle for liberation, justice, and freedom. We have to free ourselves so we can be ourselves. That's our saying. Free ourselves so we can be ourselves. But we want to, first of all, talk about this third-party situation with Cornel West and Dr. Malina Abdullah and see if there's any feedback. Joe, have you heard about that? You're on mute, Joe.
Yeah, I heard about it, but I ain't got no comment on it.
What about you, Rossi T?
I haven't closely looked at it. I just heard about it a few days ago.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting situation because you always ask the question, why are they running? And sometimes they're running just to be able to discuss the issues that we face as African people and poor people, as Cornel would say. He said he's a Christian, she's a Muslim, and so that's those unity. They both have taken a strong position on the genocide in the Gaza Strip, and they, you know, just feel like it's necessary for them to deal with just a minute.
You're on mute, Professor Ra.
As I was saying, that, you know, there's a lot of people going to vote for him that's, you know, in the progressive movement, because Dr. West has always been a very progressive person as far as the environment and as far as, you know, humanity is concerned. He's very concerned. You know, their platform is, you know, justice, and their platform is to provide housing for the home for the those that are unhoused, and a universal health care. That's the part of their agenda. But you know, it's a question about voting for our conditions. Voting not for a person, but for what situation would provide a better situation for our conditions. It's very hard because, you know, when you start talking about the United States and delegates, those other states, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, you know, Utah, Oregon, you know, so you take the position they can't win. I don't think they're running to win the race, but they're running to provide those that are unhappy with both parties to be able to have an alternative. The majority of them are going to be black. If they got every black vote, they would still couldn't win, because most black people in the South. And but at the same time, it's just unless they get some momentum, and they don't have the money that it generally takes. You know, you're talking about close to $1 billion to run for president. And then people are saying they don't have the international experience as far as foreign foreign relationships and understanding NATO and understanding the various aspects of the United States military, because the number one job of the president is commander in chief of the armed forces. And the fact that they don't have no military training, and at the same time, that not that you have to have it, Ronald Reagan didn't have any. Trump didn't have no military, none of his sons. But at the same time, you got to have a international name or network. So it's going to be a challenge, but it's good that they're running, just to raise issues, if they can get on the ballots and things of this nature in the various states. It's not easy, but they're running as an independent. He was running as with the Green Power Party, and then he switched to independent. So you don't have to have a primary to qualify for the ballot. So you got two people running independent that may affect the Democratic ticket, and that's Kennedy and Dr. West and Sister Abdullah. So I'm gonna try to get a Miss Abdullah on our program so she can talk about the issues or the concerns that we have. I know her very well, and I might have a conversation with her tomorrow if things go right. And so that's what that is, with regards to Cornel West and Dr. Malina, who was the president of the Black Lives Matter of Los Angeles, and which they call the grassroots of Black Lives Matter, because they had odds with the national Black Lives Matter program, where there's a lot of conflict and challenges amongst internal issues among themselves. But at the same time, it's good. And he ain't the first people to run. I remember Angela Davis ran, Eldridge Cleaver ran, Dick Gregory ran. That's the way before Shirley Chisholm decided to get involved. So we've had Black people to go for nominations or go run for president. But at the same time, Jesse Jackson in the 80s, who they didn't want to run, they wanted Maynard Jackson. But Jesse got so much support that the masses, even Farrakhan, them was supporting him for a little while till they ran into conflict. But over a statement that Jesse said about Jaime, means a slur against Jewish people, which this reporter, Black reporter, wrote about it when they were playing basketball, and Jesse made that statement, and he didn't know the guy was going to print about it, and Farrakhan called for his death. Called for punishment for him and exiled him, and then Jesse had to bag off of him because he didn't want that kind of talk. And so, but it was a good run. That was 84, I think. But anyway, it's good that they're running. They will put issues, the reparations and all that, even if they don't make get the vote for presidency, at least they raise the discussion on a national and international level about issues that are very dear to some Black people. Brother Nshinga, we're talking about Cornel West and Dr. Abdul Malina Abdullah running for president. Are you there, Mashinda?
Yes, I'm here.
Did you hear about that?
I've heard about Cornel West, but I not as far as, the other person. I'm not in tune to the other person. I mean,
Go ahead.
go ahead. No, I'm just saying, no, I'm not familiar with the other person. I know I mean, I've been listening to what you're saying as far as them raising issues and things like that, but it's but no, I'm not familiar with the other person.
Yeah,
Yeah, but
Maneem Abdullah, she's president. She's a professor of African American Studies. She used to be chair of the department at Cal State LA. Now she's president or chairperson of the Black Lives Matter Los Angeles.
okay.
And so he selected her to be his vice president.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
that's where it's at.
Right. Well, I got, like I said, I kind of fell out of touch. I was kind of following him somewhat, but I won't say he's irrelevant because I think you pose some great points about raising issues. I understand his platform, as far as just because he won't win or don't have a great chance of winning, he gets to be on the national stage, or national forefront to introduce ideals and continue to fight for what's right, what he feels what's right for the people. So there's nothing wrong with that, but there's many ways to look at that. If my thing is on a I know out, it looks it's a not a lot of interest in elections, in a lot of places, but where I'm at down here, I spoke on the like a I think it was a 29% turnout or something. It was just like ridiculous. And this guy, he walked in, which he should have been forced into a runoff. So they're more affected by the local, what's happening locally. I mean, of course, national agendas have a impact on a nation as well. Don't get me wrong. I was listening to a congressional hearing today on Social Security, the Windfall Reduction Act. People who have paid into Social Security, they've got their 40 quarters, but if you retire from a government agency that didn't pay into Social Security, and California is one of them, not all of the agencies in California, because I understand some people I know they are getting their full Social Security. But the folks I know down here, like I paid into my 40 quarters. And when I decide to retire, if they don't change this reduction that they have in place, they're going to chop mine down by like, 40% or something to that effect, because and it's kind of complicated in a way, but it's just a law that's been in place for a long time, and you may know about it. But I'm saying that's on the federal level, and that has an effect on about 2 million people who have retired or gonna be retiring and won't receive their full Social Security because of the fact that the windfall elimination program that they got in place. So what I'm saying is, being abreast and effects of national politics has an effect on us too, but locally. So, but anyway, if you're not voting, if you're not in politically involved or inclined, none of it matters anyway. So I don't want to be pessimistic, but man, we got some ignorant folks on the planet, and that's all I can say. I talk to people all the time and try to, educate them on what's happening, but on many levels, financial literacy, basic literacy, politics, whatever, and it's we're competing with social media. That means that they're getting it exponentially on another level versus if you were watching the Channel 7 news, ABC in Los Angeles, or watching CNN. A lot of folks say, "Oh, I'm with Fox News, I'm with CNN, I'm with C I'm MSNBC," and that tend to be the education that a lot of people get. As far as anything goes, that's their teacher. And if they don't triangulate and research outside the box and really, look at other news platforms and media platforms, then they're gonna be narrow-minded in their thinking. But now that social media is involved in their thinking, oh man, it's like I said, I run into a young brother. I say, "Hey man, you registered to vote?" "Oh, no." I said, "Well, hey, I can show you how. I'll come back later." Well, finally, I dragged him. I said, "Hey, man, come here. Let me show you." And went to online and found out he's registered to vote. And I not only was he registered to vote, he's a registered Republican. I said, "Oh, you're a Republican." He's 18 years old, or maybe 19. I said, "You're his mama, you know." So his mama, you know. I said, "Oh, so you're a Republican?" I said, "You down with Trump?" "Oh, yeah." So it's that whole movement. A lot of black folks is, you know, saying they repping Trump. You know, it's kind of in vogue. You know, it's fashionable. Like, you know, we down with Trump, and they don't even understand why they're down with Trump or what. You know, they don't understand the issues, but it's just the nature of subliminal seduction, and they're mesmerized by whatever. It's like watch. You know, I used to watch gangster movies. You know, and man, I used to look, man, Al Capone is a bad boy. You know, of course. I never tried to emulate Al Capone, but I thought I was just as cool as Al Capone. But was he really cool, or was he a cold-blooded killer selling liquor and doing his thing, you know? So I'm saying we can be mesmerized by TV and movies and media. And so you know, I'm telling you, man, people's time is being taken by a lot of BS. And you know, I just wish everybody well, man. But you know,
Brother,
I don't have a lot of hope in the situation.
Brother Machado,
Yes, hello. Yes, sir.
the guest tomorrow, combating the influence of social media on youth. Just what you're talking about. Keep going.
Yeah, but it's not, and it's not just youth, it's their parents. And so, you know, and but that's the root of the issue. The youth are picking up, they well, they're not just, you know, they pick it up from their parents, but they pick it up, they spend more time with their peers in school than they do with their parents. So they're being influenced all over the place, and the parents are not interfering with it, you know, because they're not conscious and they're ignorant, you know. And so what, and I don't mean it in a negative sense, they just don't know. They're without knowledge and understanding. And so that's it. So it's like the, you know, it's they, you know, they dying on the vine. Man, we had a little 15-year-old kill a 16-year-old the other day, 2 nights ago. I'm laying in the bed and I hear bloom, bloom, bloom. Bloom. I said, "Oh man, that wasn't that was that was you know, I'm from Compton, you know, so I know when I hear something, I'm like, man, that was serious right there." And so the next morning, people talking about it. You heard about what happened, huh? Well, the 15-year-old and the 16-year-old that got killed, they the rumor has it that the 15-year-old, I mean the 16-year-old and the 15-year-old, along with some buddies, they were going to go shoot into another place. And one of them shot him. That was like friendly fire. Shot his own boy, you know, because they don't know how to shoot guns. They fired a gun and killed him. So, and I said, well, I asked the little youngster though, this dude that was, you know, little guy that I'd be talking to. I said, "Man, where they getting these guns from?" They said, "Oh man, they get them from the, you know, they get them from their people. They get them from their uncles and their friends, and you know, like he's a little street dude." And he said, "Yeah, they get them from all over the place." Then I got to thinking too, in this state, you don't even have to, you can have a, you don't even need a concealed weapons license no more in this state. So now you can have a little dude that's on dope that might not, you know, and walk in there adult and buy weapons for the little dude that's 14, 15 years old and give him guns so you can give him a couple of dollars so you can get him some crack. You know, it's terrible, man. So anyway, the government is, you know, state government is, you know, that's what, you know, Trump says he wants to give states more autonomy to do what they want to do. And so these states, like these old Southern Confederate states, oh man, it's like, man, it's serious, man. The brothers is about to not get parole from prison. They got to pull 85% now instead of getting out in 5 years or 6 years. They got to pull a max, you know, most of their sentence. And even if they got good time and all that added, they about to eliminate all that, you know. And it's terrible, man. So I'm saying these are the conversations that I'm having with the citizens and the people, and trying to wake them up so they can have conversation with their people. So I am a believer that if you plant the seeds and keep it going, you know, and you know, get it out there, you know, it's like this platform here. If the more people listen to it, but they want to listen, everybody go to Club Shay Shay. You know, Shannon Sharp, he got millions of views, millions, and 800,000 and 700,000 hits, because everybody wants to know, you know what's going on, like a soap opera. You know, everybody want to know what P. Diddy's doing. Everybody want to know what this one's doing and that one's doing and all of that. I look at all of it because I'm a social scientist. I got to pay attention to everything. So then I can draw my conclusions on the effects of it, you know. And oh man, Shannon Sharp, that dude, man, he had Cat Williams on there. blew him up. He had like 50 million views on that thing, broke the internet, they say, and they get paid for that, you know. So my point is, this is where the mindset is. If he's got 50 million viewers, you know, hell, we should have 50 million viewers, but ain't nobody interested in what we're talking about. I'm not saying literally, but you know what I'm saying. You know, of course people are interested in it, but you know, it's a tough battle, you know. So I wish the sister well, and brother Cornel West, you know, hey, if you know, you never know if they can, just, you know, be a mover and a shaker and make something happen, you know, that's great, you know, because it's all about making people conscious, you know, because the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergs and the all those guys, man, the powers that be, they're gonna do what they got to do anyway, you know. They these oil magnates and you know Rockefellers and the De Beer family and the Oppenheimers and all those guys, that's the money. They control this whole thing, you know. So I don't know if much you can do about it, but how do we survive within that construct, you know? And it's pretty deep, you know. It's pretty deep, you know. But I think through attrition and over a long period of time, they're gonna die off now. Maybe not in our lifetime, though, but it's coming. You know, I'm a firm believer, and I'm hopeful that, yeah, you know, by the laws of nature, they're going to disappear, you know, and that'll be cool. But in the meantime, we had battle, we had war.
Well, answer me a question. What about this goon squad that they just sentenced those
Oh, them brothers over
people?
there in Memphis, or was it Memphis, Tennessee?
I thought it was Mississippi.
No, well, it was no. I thought it.
The
I
goon
thought.
squad where they tortured the brother.
Oh yeah. I got what you say. I'm thinking of the brothers that tortured brothers, the black cops that dogged their brothers up.
I remember that, but I'm talking about the one they just sentenced.
Yeah, they. Yeah, they were descendants of Klansmen. You know, the guy that was the chief of all of those goon squad guys, the sheriff or whatever, the head. One in charge of those goons, you know, he got his name. You know, they got, I guess they used to call his boss the goon or something like that. He was the head goon back in the day. So he was a young cop under him, and then he became a head cop at some point in life. I guess the original goon then retired or died off, and then he's got this descendant head, another head goon, and he letting his boys get away with murder. So yeah, they're out there. They busted up a little bit. They found, you know, they got exposed and everything like that. You know, they did. But
Yeah, they say they've been doing it a long time and they're
of
going to
course.
lose a lot of their cases.
Yeah, well, that's good. You know, those that's the thing. Everything gonna come to light. You know, that's good. It you know that it that can't last. I know somebody that got stopped by the cops recently. It was a nurse that got stopped. And she was saying that the police pulled her over, and for no reason, because she said she wasn't speeding. She knew what she was doing, and the cop pulled her over and made her get out the car and said, "You know, I'm not going to give you a ticket, but let me see your license." And he took a picture of her license. He said, and he said, and he saw that she was a nurse. He said, "You know, you can lose your license if I turn this in." You're threatening her. Which, you know, on an infraction, you're not going to lose your nursing license on a if you were speeding. That's ridiculous, you know. That's unheard of. But the point is, trying to intimidate her. Then, of course, another story. Probably a few months ago, we had people come in from St. Louis that were visiting, and the young lady, she took off with her son and her daughter. They went to visit somebody probably 45 minutes from here, traveling through one of these little redneck towns to get there. Got pulled over by the cops. Talking about you were speeding. She said, "No, sir, I was not speeding." This woman was a respectable woman, and she said he told her to shut up. You know, he said, "I'm in charge of this." You know, and just talking crazy to her. But she got quiet. She came back and she was telling us about it. She said, "Hey, like, what can we do about that?" I said, "Well, you can, you know, did you get his badge number? Did you get his name?" She didn't. I said, "That's the first thing you do, and then we can contact the agencies and report him. You know, we can report his butt." You know, at the very least, you know, put it on record what's going on, harassment, you know. But now that, hey, this governor then gave you know, with his super majority of legislators down in Baton Rouge, they had that crime bill. They had a crime session, man, and passed everything in record time. You know, police got immunity, you know, so you can't sue them. Of course, if they kill somebody, they're gonna be investigated and all of that. But it's hard to bring a lawsuit against a cop out here now. So that emboldens them to think that, oh, I'm invincible, you can't touch me. And he's attorney general, he's a prosecutor, and he's tough. You know what I'm saying? He's ultra conservative. I'm gonna just leave it at that. And that dude. Man, he passed all. He's the one that passed the prison rules, changed that, the good time and parole, and they about to fill up these prisons like never before. The juvenile, you 17 and do a crime, you're going to prison. You're not going to juvenile. They changed it back. The Democratic governor changed it back to juvenile. Said they need some therapy, send them to juvenile hall or to a group home or whatever. Juvenile system. No, they made it, and then they also in the three most populated black centers, Baton Rouge, East Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and I believe Shreveport, or I think it's Shreveport. No, it's Lake Charles, I want to say. One of them, I think it's Calcasieu Parish or Caddo Parish. Anyway, it's three areas that got a whole lot of blacks. They're going to be exposing juvenile records, because to deal with the crime, we're going to expose these juveniles. So that's going to go a long way as far as who they are and their reputation, that they won't be able to redeem themselves once they're exposed. Because that's what the juvenile system is all about, is to give these youngsters a chance maybe they could turn themselves around. But this governor done flipped the script, and I mean, like a freight train. He's and then he's about to have a constitutional convention, to where he wants to take the guaranteed K-12 money, because by constitution, these kids have a right to go to school, and it's the law to go to school, and it's going to be funded by the state. It's in the constitution. He wants to have leverage and say so over that money, because a lot of rich folk, they got kids who go to these private schools. Hey, let's throw them a bone. So they'll defund these public schools and let you go to homeschooling and other things. That kind of thing, but it's not going to guarantee. So it's about to water down the public school system even more, So, but they do have some even Republicans against that. Like, wait a minute, man, we'll know about this Constitution thing, but he's trying to rush everything, and he only been in there since January. So I'm saying, at the local level, at the state level, man, it's a lot going on in various states, and not just this one, Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky, all of them. But California. You got, old boy in there, and they not cutting up so much like what they doing down here, man. It's terrible. And you don't need a concealed weapons license. You don't even need, I can walk, a kid can walk in there at 18 years old, buy a bunch of ammunition and a semi-automatic and walk out the door. That is crazy, man. That's crazy. No background check.
Yeah, well, we're saying they were getting guns even if they had a law against them. A lot of people carry guns in states where they have laws against it. All they're doing is making it legal, and their position is that the only way you stop the bad guys is with the good guys with guns. And so
Yeah, but you know what? The bad, hey, the, but the, if they want to look at it that way, so everybody loading up on guns, so that means you're gonna be you can't go in certain places with guns though. There's certain places that you can't carry a gun. There's gonna be a lot of guns in cars. They're gonna be breaking in houses looking for guns. They, like you say, they're gonna get guns, but but all I'm saying is it's a mentality. It's a mentality. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, they're just making it legal for, like you say, the average citizen, these school teachers, and everybody that want to carry a gun can get
No.
one.
Yeah, even an 18-year-old kid that don't have a brain. Yeah, okay.
Well, but they didn't do it for them,
They doing it for them now. They doing it for them now. They
Well, I mean, they did it for the white folks to carry guns and don't have to worry about it. Now,
Right.
a part of that is that people that, like you say, 18-year-olds can get them too. But most people, they don't even have guns. They never shoot them, except for on New Year. And so, it's a struggle, brother, as far as I'm concerned. And it's a hell of a struggle. But my question to you, see, when We got to look at the victory of the Goon Squad, that they didn't caught up with him after all these years, and they sentenced them, most of them, to 15 to 20 years in prison. Amen. Before, they wouldn't even look at it. I mean, for years, they didn't even care. But through the struggle of the people, raising the issues and the people that were victimized when he shot the brother in the jaw and sexually abused them, and did all kind of terrible things to him. And then they finally got caught. And it's like, took us 100 years to get out of slavery. We still fighting against this segregation and prejudice, even though they swear them laws are gone. But we know that people still practice them, like what they're doing in Louisiana. But a lot of people out here don't even know all that's going on. I don't know what the NAACP is doing in Louisiana. I don't if they even have a chapter. In many ways there should be, there should be more outrage, and we hope that the people will get outraged. But like you say, many of them are not conscious and just not active, and some of them are intimidated. They don't want to fight against the system because they figure that they'll be punished. Just like people don't want to talk against Trump because he tweeting, you in trouble. And so
Hey, did you hear about up in Antioch, California, Pittsburgh, California, up north, police act, they got under FBI investigation. They recovered thousands of racist statements, correspondence with the cops, and they've been involved in all kind of mess up there, in the last year or about, they've been investigating those folks up there. And same thing, it's all over the country. And because that blue code of silence, and just like LAPD and sheriffs and most of them folks, man, they come from the Midwest, man. They military, retired military, been in the military, and they come there to kick, tail and take names. That's what they into.
Yeah, well, the struggle continues.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to find good in challenging situations like Louisiana, even with Cornel West and Dr. Molina running for president. Most people think they'll just take away from Democratic ticket along with Kennedy, and we got to see who's bagging them and who's giving them money. It'd be different if Beyonce and Jay-Z and a couple of the millionaires was behind them and giving them big money. But if they're relying on the masses, it's gonna be hard. And but at the same time, they will be able to do some good by putting up the hypocrisy of America with regards to its servicing people of color and women and things of that nature. But we'll see about that. But the Goon Squad, it's good that they finally caught up with them. And it says, and they're probably going to catch some more, hopefully, and give them sentences that reflect the history and the challenges. Because it wasn't for the masses, the people, and the victims resisting and filing reports and exposing what they went through, that opened the investigation of the police department, that brought them to a sense of justice. And I'm pretty sure the people that were victimized are going to get a lawsuit. And so, not that resolves the pain that they went through and things of that nature. So that's going to be a challenging, but I deeply appreciate your analysis and information that you tell us what's going on down there in Louisiana.
Hey,
And
we had one of I told you about it in this little town. They had a we you know super majority had four black women on the council, and a young black mayor is 24 years old. One of the youngest mayors, black mayors in the country, one of the youngest mayors in the country. and they've been giving each they've been infighting with each other. But anyway, a good friend of mine, that I've been knowing for a while, she was 45, just, fell out dead the other day. One of the saddest days, man. That was one of the council people. So they lost one of the soldiers on the council. However, I hope that, she'll be replaced by somebody that's black for sure, because she's from a black district, But that went down. They just had her funeral Saturday, So I just wanted to report that as well, man.
You know her name?
Her name is Danielle Keys. Yeah.
May the
And
good she brought in the world last forever, may none be lost, and may she be, be a glorious spirit in heaven and
yeah.
remain a powerful presence on earth amongst her family and friends and loved
Yes,
ones.
sir.
Yes, that's rough. That's rough.
Yeah.
The issues that we're looking at from the standpoint of politics, national politics, like you said, most politics is local. People get mad and say, "I ain't voting in the president election," but you got to vote in the local election. And then, like you say, educating people to participate is a challenge because they have these views. They don't want to register because that means they might be called to be on a jury duty. They have all kind of excuses not to participate in politics as far as that is concerned. But it's a struggle, getting people to participate in politics and educate them to the value of their vote. And it generally should start at home. But like you say, many of the parents are not into politics. And a lot of that's for a lot of reasons too. Some of them are young parents and some of them are just comfortable just, trying to just feed their kids and they ain't got time for electoral politics and they don't keep up with it. Like you said, they don't even watch the news. They don't pay no attention to what's going on in politics. So we got to, a lot of work to do, but we got to also praise those that do participate and those that do try to get others involved in their
No
family.
doubt.
And we got to talk about the victories as well as the misgivings. So that would be the struggle. Appreciate what you were saying. Big Joe, are you still there, Joe?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so man, have you heard any more about the Compton Unified School District and what they're doing with Compton High, anything?
Stealing money, probably.
Yeah.
The other day and looked like I could see some structures over the fence finally.
Looked like it's gonna be a big school. Yeah.
I'm surprised they're doing all three. They're starting on Centennial when they supposedly finished Compton, and then Dominguez they're supposed to start on in 2028. Third, I don't, the superintendent has moved most of the people from Compton out of the equation and out of positions that, for people to know so they can do their thing. But I can't see structures. I see it on Cocoa, big old building. I don't know what it's going to be. But I, whenever they do finish it, they might as well, rename it to some Latino name, because that's 99% of what's going to be there at Compton High. So, but no, I like I said, most of the people that I knew, they moved them out of there or they're away from the district bringing lawsuits. And I saw a brother in the credit union the other day, and he's still working. He works in facilities, plant manager, and that sort of thing. Most of the people that I know, they're either out or racing to get out as far as retirement goes, but I don't really know.
But when I passed by, it's so big, it looked like It's just so big. I mean, all the buildings and parking structures and look like it's gonna be the center of all the schools. I don't know.
Carries the city's name, so it should be. But right there where those tennis courts were, that they got a 2 or 3 story structure there. Over on Myrrh and Arcasia, I saw another structure of similar size. I don't see nothing happening where the baseball field used to be. I don't know how it's gonna be. I haven't even looked at the map to see how it's gonna be structured, but I can imagine what's going on behind the scenes or underneath the table, I should say. Pretty much what goes on. I know when they redid Ramsar Stadium, that was one of the biggest rip-offs it was in the district. Like I say, I'm through with it. Most of the people I know is gone. Students are gone. So we just have reunion, talk about how we wish it would be whenever they finish. So no, I don't keep up on that. None of the politics either. That's I am about politics. I mean, I'll vote and everything, but just say those folks, they don't have compassion for the children anyway, in my opinion. I saw that all while I was working. Talking about student first, that's the biggest joke it is. First, or the showing first. But no, maybe Rasha Key, he probably knows more than me since he's still with him working. So maybe he has a comment on that.
What answer me quick. What have you heard about what Mashinda was mentioning it? About black people voting for Trump.
Yeah,
What's your position on that, Joe?
I run across a couple myself. Most of them were business background. And I'm wondering, I don't like the two black people you say that were running. I'm wondering who's actually financing them. Could it be,
Yeah, Trump, yeah.
like I said, politics makes for strange bedfellows, and they could have them out there paying them off to keep Biden from getting in. So, you never know unless you're in the loop. Let me say this to Brother Mashinda down there in Louisiana. During our enslavement, that's where they moved the slaves that they were looking to die after they had worked them to death. They moved them all down to Louisiana so they would die down there. That was a big point I ran across in slavery. And I know a lot of brothers who left Louisiana to come out here because of something they did or said. Literally, they were told, you better be on the next bus up out of here. I know a lot of brothers that are out here in California that had to leave because of those type of situations. But we need to try to protect ourselves and, don't be afraid of it. And sometime the rabbit gotta have a gun to get a little respect. Pop a few caps on the jokers and they'll back the hell on up. You know what you're taking your life in your hands when you do that. But like Malcolm said, you gotta go, make it even Steven. I'm not just, this guy, he's just so anti-nature. I've been really looking at that, how they are so anti-nature, like Brother Jabril was talking about last the other week. And they were showing these two white boys on this mountain somewhere. I don't know if it was New Mexico or Arizona, but this rock formation had been there for millions of years. And they was up there destroying that. Did anybody see that on the news?
Yeah, I saw they did a series about them doing it in different places.
So, I just try to look at that and stay in tune with that as much as possible. But our people, man, we kind of go like the wind blows sometimes through the people not being having any, semblance of consciousness at all. Social media, which I'm not into, seems like that sways them so many different ways, like Brother Mashinda was saying. It's really sad. And a lot of them think, matter of fact, I talked to some people who call themselves historians and knowing history, and all the information they got is off the internet. I'm like, man, you can't trust that stuff. You have to read what the authors wrote and all of that. But like I say, our people will go for anything, man, seem like to me. So, you get less and less friends. If you step outside the conscious circle, it ain't a whole lot of people you could talk to. I was at a 70th birthday party for a relative of mine Saturday. And, I had my coupon. It was a little cold out with the rain. And I sat at this table, and this brother had, the Islamic star with the quarter moon. And he was like, giving me the greeting, As-salamu alaykum. I said, I'm not Muslim, brother. And this is a kufa. This has nothing to do with Islam. He took it to another level. And do you know what Muslim means? I said, yeah, brother, I know what it means. And he said, you believe in God? I said, well, not in the manner that you do. And so he tried to go, I look, brother, you need to read more stuff than the stuff Islam is putting out in order to talk to me. And, then we could talk. I started to, push a little further, but I didn't feel like getting in no fight. He was all there. I mean, you could see he was getting amped up. And I started to ask him, so you believe Elijah Muhammad is up there floating around in the mothership, but I didn't go there. He probably would have wanted to throw down if I said that. But I tell you, man, our people, our minds are all over the place. All over the place. And we could ever unite, we could do something. And not to say that we're not doing anything, but I think we need to focus on what we need to do for ourselves and quit worrying about a lot of this other stuff that we don't have no control over. And one of them never have control.
There's a lot of sects of Muslims that are Islam and 5% just Shiites and all of that, and so.
I was telling them, this hat I have on was before Islam was even known in the world. He wasn't hearing me on that. Indoctrinated to what they believe. I just, as a matter of fact, after a few minutes after that, I just took my coupe off just not to raise no more issues. But anyway, we ended up being cool before the night was over.
If he's looking at the Cuba, he probably was Al-Islam.
Matter of fact, my cousin E, that's usually on the show, was sitting at my table and he was listening to what was going on. Got to talking about the show and I mentioned you. And the brother changed his whole persona, I told him, we had been doing a show for a couple of years. So, and matter of fact, this guy claimed he was Bunchy Carter's cousin.
Wow.
So I kind of raised up Bunchy, So he was kind of cool after that. But I kind of agree with Mashinda. Our people, man, our brains and thought process need a lot of work. A lot of work.
Well, everybody does in America, because 70 million people, not just black people, voting for Trump. 70 million voted for him last time, and we ain't but 30 million. So the majority of black people last time voted for Biden. But It's white people that's really white Christian nationalists and white undercover Christian nationalists that are concerned about replacement theory and, making America great again. And white folks were the only one voting. They're only ones running things.
You know, I was telling earlier today, I was looking at 60 Minutes, what it had about that Tasmanian tiger that was extinct. I was to a brother today, letting him know that you know, back in the, I forget what century it was, maybe 14th, 15th, 16th century, when the European nations was tired of feeding all the folks they had in prison, they brought them up on boats, and half of them were sent to the United States, and the other half was sent to Australia. So the founding white folks in those areas were folks straight out the European prison system process, and they were all about this animal, this tiger that was extinct, but they never mentioned the fact that they killed every Tasmanian man, woman, and child. They didn't mention that extinction at all. Pissing me off. You know, but everywhere they are, they killed the people off, took their land and all of that, took the resources and left the people with, you know, basically with the Bible. That was it. And you know, we got more Jesus freaks on the continent of Africa than we do here in the United States. So it is what it is. All right.
You're right. I mean, and what can you say that there's some spiritual groups that do positive things, and they have what they call liberation theology that goes all the way back to the beginning of African churches and things of this nature. Most of them were in liberation movements. It's like both black newspapers were. We're abolitionist newspaper. Now they social things now, So a lot of people got into Christianity and corrupted it and turned it into a job and a money making thing rather than a culture of resistance.
That's what all of them are, in my opinion. Yeah. It seemed to me ain't nothing but a business money making thing.
Well. Some of them, but some of them do good. I mean, Nat Turner was a Christian. Harriet Tubman was a Christian. But they weren't not, I mean, I think it was Harriet Tubman. I mean, I think it was Nat Turner said God told him to kill these people. So, that's a different level of struggle that we got to deal with. But anyway, Roger King, what's happening tomorrow?
We got this youngster coming on tomorrow, a young person that I work with. And I'll show you what the topic will be. So she's a young lady that go by Bree, and the topic is combating the influence of social media on youth. Sort of what Brother Mashinda was talking about. He had mentioned it. So that's what we have tomorrow. And next Tuesday, we have on your show, Professor Rock, Dr. Sherita Yazid, ND. And the topic is repatriation back to
Patronage.
Africa with a solid plan.
Yeah, repatriation. Yeah, I understand. All right then. All right. So we'll just take our pause.
All right, each one
All
teach one in Conscious Corner.
right then, brother. Thanks, Mashinda, for the beautiful information. Thanks.